Hello, my name is Carol Gillis. I'm from Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada, and I'm going to speak to you today on ultrasound and an introduction on how to do it. Ultrasound systems include diagnostic and portable ultrasound systems. We have different types of transducers, and I'm going to speak to you about the care of these transducers. We'll also talk about basic knobology, including image optimization, including gain, time gain compensation, focus, depth, and color Doppler. There are a variety of machines that are used in ultrasound, and they vary in size. You can see a handheld device at the bottom and a diagnostic imaging unit here. These are all used for different types of clinical applications which use ultrasound. Transducers are any device which convert one form of energy into another. These sometimes are called probes or scan heads, and you'll see these a variety of transducers on the ultrasound systems. It's really the piezoelectric crystal within the transducer that is the transducer component, and also you'll notice that ultrasound gel needs to be used in order to conduct the sound waves to the tissues and back. These are an example of some transducers, including the curvy linear at the top, the endovaginal probe here, used for transrectal, transvaginal exams. The cardiac exam here is using a phased array, and the linear used for soft tissues, vascular structures, and superficial organs. Transducers are very expensive. They can be up to $5,000 and $6,000 each. It's very important not to drop them. The piezoelectric elements that are within the transducer housing can break. We don't want to break them. We also do not want to send them to an autoclave. With very high temperatures of heat, they can lose their piezoelectric properties. And we also do not want to use the wrong cleaning solution, as some may break down the membranes that cover the transducers. Even a malfunction of a single crystal will result in erratic changes within the image. And again, the importance of cleaning for infection, you need to clean these probes after each of the exams. The image orientation is determined by how the transducer is held during the image. We're going to talk today about the sagittal and the transverse planes. The sagittal plane is when the transducer is held along the long axis of the patient. This is the long axis of the patient. When you hold the probe, again, if you're scanning like this, this would be a sagittal exam. The transverse scan plane is when you turn the transducer 90 degrees towards yourself or in a counterclockwise position. And this is the short axis of the patient where you can see cross-sectional sliced images. This is an image at the top. You can see that each of these slices in a sagittal exam, you can see the transducer at the top and what the image would look like. And again, they're like slices in the sagittal plane. At the bottom of the screen, you can see the top of the transducer is the anterior position. At the bottom, you can see down here is the posterior. This is superior if you move this way on the image, and down this way is the inferior aspect. And this black area that you see, which is anechoic, is the bladder. And you can see the uterus, the endometrium, the cervix, and the vagina in this transabdominal pelvic scan. So turning the transducer 90 degrees towards yourself or counterclockwise, you'll be able to use the transverse scan plane and see cross-sectional slices. So you can see down at the bottom, again, the top of the screen would be anterior, posterior at the bottom of the screen. And because we're in cross-section, you'll see the right side of the patient over here and the left side of the patient over here. So this is a cross-sectional view of the uterus, and you can also see the right ovary and the left ovary in this scan. By understanding how ultrasound systems work and operate, the operator can vary operator controls, and we sometimes call these knobs, but you can optimize the images in order to see these organs or body parts under investigation. So first I'll talk about the gain or the time gain compensation, and gain is really about an amplifier. So it actually takes the echoes that are returned back to the transducer, and those voltages are quite small. So it actually amplifies those echoes so that we can see things on the screen. When you turn up the gains on your ultrasound system, it makes the image or the screen appear brighter. All of the echoes are boosted by the same amount. And turning down the gain decreases the brightness of the echoes on the image. Time gain compensation are usually potentiometers along the system, and this is where you can electronically boost those voltages according to their arrival time. So the ones at the top here that you can see, the near gain, don't need as much amplification because they haven't undergone much attenuation, but some that are in the far field will need more gain. And so this is just varying the gain according to the time of arrival, or the deeper structures get more compensation. Doppler controls can help you in looking at blood flow because we can detect the presence, the direction, the speed, and the character of that blood flow. Also, we can use tissue Doppler when we're assessing the wall motion of the heart. The Doppler analysis can be in several forms: the audible form, where you can hear the signal; the spectral display form, where you'll see a graph, a spectral tracing; and the color display as well, where you see different colors. This is a color Doppler image of an internal carotid artery, and you can see the varying colors here. And these colors tell us something. It tells us whether the flow is coming towards the transducer, away from the transducer, or where there may be areas of turbulence, which you can see the colors right in here. So with the color, you need to understand the color map, and this will be displayed on the image as well. So any of the colors above the baseline would be the black in the center here, but anything above the baseline are positive Doppler shifts. So anything that's coming towards the transducer would be seen as red, and if you get to the extremes of the color bar and kind of the orange areas here, these are the greater velocities. Any of the Doppler shifts that are negative, again going away from the transducer, are shown as blue. And again, the greater velocities are at the extreme of the color bar here, which is kind of a turquoise color. We can also see some variance in some of these color maps, where you can see a variance around the mean Doppler shift. And sometimes this is displayed as green on the color bars. So there's also color inverts. So you can actually take the map, you can see at the top, and flip it the other way. So you can have positive as blues and negatives as red, but normally this is the way we look at images, where the positive is on the top as red, and going away from the transducer, the negative Doppler shifts are seen as blue. The color controls are quite separate from the image controls, so you need to remember that if you're using color controls, the gains are completely separate for the imaging and for the color. And so you see at the top where the color Doppler receiver gain is set too high, it's showing too much signal, and it's bleeding out into areas outside of the vessel. And the opposite is true here, where if the Doppler receiver gain is set too low, you're not picking up enough signal and you're not seeing the full display of the blood flow within this common carotid artery. There is limitations of color Doppler, and this is why it's important to understand the physics surrounding ultrasound, but it is angle dependent. At 90 degrees, there's no Doppler shift. The cosine of 90 is zero, and if you remember back with the Doppler equation, that makes everything zero. So the problem with color Doppler is if you're at 90 degrees, you're not going to get any signal or very little of it. It has lower frame rates, so it decreases the image resolution. So what that means is when you're looking at a color Doppler image, it almost makes it feel like it's slowed down, the frame rate gets slower. It can also have an aliasing artifact, and this is an undersampling artifact, where you can have wraparound in the color bar, and sometimes it lacks the detail offered in the spatial information of a B-mode ultrasound image. This is our Dalhousie mascot, the tiger, and I'd just like to thank you for your attention this afternoon for the presentation.